It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday the 28th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. After the Target hack, we got chip and PIN cards. So what comes after chip and PIN cards? Credit card fraud is growing in the U.S. One estimate says 47% of the world's card fraud takes place right here in the good old U.S. of A. A lot of businesses are trying to lower that number. One company is offering a new biometric fingerprint-activated credit card. Will banks and credit card companies sign up? Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
You don't activate this card by calling a 1-800 number. Instead, you swipe your chosen finger across the card three times. Afterwards, every time you use it, you use that same finger to identify yourself. A thief would be stuck with a useless piece of plastic. Haya Hendrick is CEO of Smart Metric, the company behind the card.
We have talks and very high level of interest underway at the moment with some of the biggest credit card issuers in the United States and in Europe and parts of Asia.
Ben Woolsey is president of Credit Card Forum. He says fingerprint technology would add security in the event of a stolen card. Still, he says most card fraud
is when millions of card numbers and the information associated with those people are stolen off of merchant databases, card processor databases.
And fraudsters then use that to embark on an online spending spree. He says the tighter security gets around the actual card, the more it'll drive criminals to go after the data. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And fair to say, Facebook earnings crushed expectations this week. Revenue for second quarter was $6.43 billion. Analysts were expecting 6.02. The key metric here might be that 84% of advertising revenue for Facebook was from mobile. The company's stock jumped in after-hours trading. This week, we got news that Amazon is partnering with government officials in the UK to test delivery drones there. Amazon has said that it's partnering with the government there in part because the rules here are more stringent. Transportation correspondent Richard Westcott has been reporting on this for our partners at the BBC. Richard, when will this rollout happen?
They're being a bit secretive about it. We know they've got various test sites across the country. We think they're going to pick a slightly rural location so they're not having to fly over lots of houses with people in, because you'd have to ask permission from all of the people in each house to fly right over their house. So they're going to have to pick fairly quiet spots initially, but it's a sort of slow process. The UK government are talking about, say, 2020 to come up with a set of new rules. So they've got, you know, from now until then to really work out how they might just do it.
As the technology develops, are we going to see a very different landscape in individual countries as to how people get their packages, do you think?
Well, I think you could. The UK has seen this and seen, you know, dollar signs, as it were. There's a lot of money to be made from drones in all kinds of different ways, especially interesting from the data they can soak up. At the moment, the UK has looked at this, thought we could be ahead of the game here. So we're going to let these companies come, let them test their systems. They're doing the same with driverless cars as well in the UK. They're trying to loosen up the regulations so that we can be ahead of the game and make the money. But I suspect the companies want to test in the UK so that they can prove it works, so they can prove it's safe, and then they can move on to the really big markets, markets like America, where they would make an awful lot more money. But they can, first of all, prove that it's safe and that it works in the UK.
Richard Westcott, he is transportation correspondent for our partners at the BBC. Richard, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
By the way, Westcott says one big challenge for drones across the pond, Britain's inclement weather. He said that, not me. One of the big challenges of treating serious diseases affecting the brain is studying the insides of the brain while people who have an illness are still alive. Well, a new imaging technology study out of Yale has the potential to make a difference by helping doctors get a more detailed view of patients' brains. Richard Carson is senior author of the study and director of the Yale PET Center. Richard, thanks for talking with me.
Happy to be here.
So tell me about your study and what you found.
So for many years, PET imaging has been used in a variety of disorders to look at different functions in the human body and be able to identify focal sites of disorders from everything from Alzheimer's to epilepsy to cancer. Recently in our lab, we were able to develop a new imaging agent to be used with PET that hones in on synapses. Synapses are the junctions between nerve cells, and their losses of neurons are a very common factor that's found in a wide variety of diseases.
What's a good analogy for synapses and sort of how they work.
You could think of it as intersections, where one road interconnects to another.
So essentially, you've got this new molecule, you shoot it into somebody, it gets into their brain, and you use the PET scan to see where these connections are in the brain.
Correct. So with our new tool, we are able to actually look at the synapses now in the living human brain. And previously, this approach has really only been possible at autopsy or in postmortem tissue.
So after folks have died, and now you can see what's going on in a living brain.
Correct. And so that's a huge step forward in what we think we can do in a variety of diseases. We know that at death, there is a lot of loss in synapses, sometimes in specific regions of the brain and sometimes quite broadly. And if we can follow that in human patients, we can follow the normal progression of a disease, or we can see how drug treatment can slow the loss of synapses or possibly even reverse it. It's going to give us a tremendous tool to help both help patients specifically and help the development of potential drugs for many, many disorders.
Richard Carson, he is senior author of a study on new imaging technology in brain disorders. He's also director of the Yale PET Center. Richard, thank you very much for talking to me.
My pleasure.
By the way, yes, Donald Trump did encourage Russian hackers to expose the missing emails from Hillary Clinton's unofficial email server yesterday. He later took to Twitter to suggest that he just wanted them handed over to the FBI, no matter who found them. Some called Trump's statements treasonous. Others called them brave. Whatever you call them, there seems to be consensus that this is the first time ever the nominee for a major American political party has egged on a foreign power to commit cyber espionage against their political opponent. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.